Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2021. This is my second show for the day. Professor Joe and I did one earlier, and if anybody hasn't listened to it yet, you need to, if you listened to this before. But with that said, I got Professor James Fetcher on with me, a whistleblower as well. And I also have Joe, you call him a whistleblower with all the knowledge he has and on the radio with us. But we're going to let, I'm going to let Jim lead it because it's a subject I think we need to touch on. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Stu, we got three major developments with legal ramifications, all of which undermine the Democrats' position about defunding the police, about white supremacy, killing blacks, about taking advantage of white privilege. Well, it begins with three rednecks who've been found guilty of murder in the death of Ahmaud Arbery down here in Georgia. Now, he may or may not have been committing a burglary, but these guys thought he was. They sought to execute a citizen's arrest. One of them was armed, and when they got into a tussle, Arbery was shot and killed. Now, my opinion is, this doesn't look like a felony murder rap. It looks like a manslaughter. It certainly doesn't appear to be intentional. And yet, they are found guilty of felony murder charges. They raise multiple charges. The point I would make is not the subtleties of the case, rather that it shows white men who bring about the death of a black man are going to be held legally responsible, even in a deep south state like Georgia. Then, of course, we got the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal, but there's been massive fake news reports about it, suggesting he had transported a gun across state lines illegally. That was false. That it was an AK-47. That was false. That he was murdering black people. That was false. That he was actually acting in self-defense, and he was acquitted of the multiple charges that had been brought by the prosecution, even though it had violated its obligation and duty to share all the available evidence, including that which exonerated the accused, by withholding a high-definition phone footage that supported his claim to self-defense, and by supporting perjury by putting on the stand two car dealer owners who had actually negotiated with Kyle to come and help defend their car lot. More than three were hunted previously with torch, so they were hoping the others would not be as well. And they claimed they had had no contact with Kyle. They also performed the absurd act of taking Kyle's AR-15 and pointing it in the courtroom with finger on the trigger, a gross violation of gun safety, which many believe was a form of intimidation against the jury. The jury spent 4 days in deliberation. There were 11 whites, but also one black. The verdicts had to be unanimous. They all came to the conclusion that each of the cases in which Kyle was charged, he was acting in self-defense. He was confronting an imminent deadly threat that he had sought to avoid, and that he had no choice but to defend himself. But because the media has spun it so badly in terms of him shooting black men when they were white, that it was a form of white supremacy, that he was just on a rampage, they'd gone there to kill people, but he'd actually gone there to defend property. He'd previously been filmed washing graffiti off of a public school. He was there with a medical kit. He was trained as a lifeguard. His father lived in Kenosha. There were all good reasons for him to be there, but the attitude has been of the commentators, why it's good, self-defense bad. Well, it turns out someone who appears to have been massively affected, I think, by the fake news was a black guy by the name of Brooks, who drove a SUV into a crowd during a parade in Mishawaka. It was a grotesque offense. This guy was out on bail, $1,000 bail, when he had an active warrant out for him for a sex offense in another state, where among his more recent offenses was driving over his girlfriend with his vehicle, where it turns out on his social media site, there was a lot indicating that he was outraged, that he was a Black Lives Matter member and supporter, that everybody was outraged by the jury verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. You know, I think that shows that the whole narrative that these are crimes that are committed by whites against blacks has no foundation whatsoever. In fact, anyone who actually studies criminal statistics in the United States will learn rapidly that whites killing blacks is the least in the categories when you divide it by race, that whites killing whites and blacks killing whites both occur 10 times as often as whites kill blacks, and that blacks killing blacks are overwhelmingly the predominant occurrence. 55 times more often do blacks kill other blacks than do whites kill blacks. If they're overwhelmingly the murders in the country are actually committed with bare hands, that's the vast majority of murders, beatings, death, or strangulation, and among gun deaths are overwhelmingly done with handguns. Rifles are very rarely used. So the Democrats are completely out of focus. They don't have the facts right. They're pushing an agenda that's now being dramatically contradicted by this case, and I believe the reverberations are going to be very substantial and devastating to the gun control movement, to the narrative of black white supremacy affecting blacks when you have this black nationalist running into a parade of innocent men, women, and children and bring about massive death and destruction. This was a mass murder event using a vehicle as the instrument of destruction.
Now, I heard on the national news, and we can't believe anything what they say, but they said there were 60 people hurt from him running over. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the number could even have been larger, but yes. Minimally, there are 6 now dead. There were 5 initially. They were older folks, 51 to 83. 3 of them were among the Nancy Grannies. How does that grab you? And now an 8-year-old boy has also died. Some other children are in serious condition and may or may not survive. But we have then 6 now dead and at least 48 injured. I do believe the number hitting at least 60 is accurate. It may even be higher.
What's your opinion of this, Joe?
Absolutely, because I did get to see about a 45-second take on him driving it down the road. And he was not going slow. He was probably, I would say, hitting about 35 miles an hour.
He was dodging.
I think 40. I would estimate 40 miles an hour.
He was dodging cars. He wanted to hit the people. That was a pretty obvious. This is a freak. Now, you know, we saw this kind of activity with Black Lives Matter out in Portland, Oregon. Now, you touched on this with me in the earlier show, Joe. And
yeah.
I want you
one of the things that people do not understand, I have some friends that live up in Portland, and they give me a little bit of stuff. They're not heavily involved. But to give you an example of the extremism of Portland, which at one time was a very conservative city, and it turns out that they have a large, not a small, a large satanic group. In other words, they are members of the Church of Satan. They have a shop there called Voodoo Donuts. And what it is a donut shop that has replicas of genitalia and other satanic symbols. And there have been people who have blogged that they've gone to the parties, and after the parties, there was when they brought the little kids in. So Portland is a literal, literal satanic city.
But there's the huge influence of Black Lives Matter and Antifa in there that were the ones doing all that rioting and running.
I would say right now, knowing a little bit about African religions, the lady that was the head of the Black Lives Matter chapter in L.A., in as a professor at Cal State University, LA. She has been quoted as saying that she is a practitioner of voodoo. She's a practitioner of voodoo. That same woman went out and up in the hills of Los Angeles, the Malibu Mountains, she bought a $3.2 million mansion. Up in those hills, that's all a white community. So that's how I know that BLM is definitely 100% infiltrated by Satanists.
Now,
literally.
They're controlled by the Democratic Party, and as I recall, I believe it was the Democratic Party was paying them, weren't they? Or it was vice versa. One was raising funds for the other or something. But there was something that came out during those hearings. I think it was about the time Jim Jordan was going after Strzok and them. It was during the period of time. But anyway, Jim?
I do know, as a matter of fact, because she confessed it herself, her own religious practice. And part of voodoo is human sacrifice.
They're sick puppies. Now, that's the kind of crap we're up against. Now, Jim, I'm not calling all Black Lives Matters. I got a black listening audience that's pretty strong here in Kansas City, apparently. And I didn't realize it, but I came to find out. But anyway, here's the point.
Well, I think most blacks don't believe in Black Lives Matter. They believe in law and order. I remember when they were doing a survey in Harlem about defunding the police, and the residents were saying, defund the police, that would be suicide. And, of course, crime rates have gone up all over the country. Americans of all colors know that if they can't defend themselves, they're going to be in bad shape, which is why gun sales have skyrocketed all over the country, including even among Democrats. And when gun owners are much less likely to be supporting restrictions on gun ownership, I think that this is a disgrace. I think most blacks are appalled by what happened here with this fellow Darryl Brooks, who ran his SUV into a parade celebrating Christmas, for God's sake. This is completely disgusting. And if you look at that video, he doesn't slow down at all. He's moving around to try to take out the largest number of people. He never slows down, and he flees the area. It's just outrageous. And I'm just telling you, this is like a wooden stake to the heart of the Democratic Party. They're not going to be able to survive this. And it's why the media is trying to conceal, suppress the motivation here. Let me compare Kenosha and Waukesha. In Kenosha, we had the first white boy, 17 years old, in Waukesha, a black man, 39. The event in Kenosha, he shot and killed two white men and wounded a third. In Waukesha, ran over perhaps 100 whites, killing six, injuring 48 or more. The parties, those he shot in Kenosha were criminals with extensive rap sheets, where he was just a clean kid. In Waukesha, innocent men, women, and children were driven down when the driver had an extensive rap sheet. The motive in Kenosha, clear-cut self-defense. In Waukesha, they're not even willing to put the word out, but obviously it was revenge for the acquittal in Kenosha, which becomes clear for the social media site. Meanwhile, he's even got there not only support for BLM and the black nationalism, but concern about the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal, and even notes about how to succeed in running people over with a car and not being convicted or held responsible. The media in Kenosha massive coverage of a white supremacist who used an assault rifle to shoot and kill two blacks and wound a third. In the case of Waukesha, very restrictive coverage, or even trying to imply he was lean from the domestic disturbances, so that could possibly explain it. I mean, it's so completely different now they're covering the two cases, because they're trying to make the Kenosha case the Democrat narrative of white supremacy. The facts don't add up. In Waukesha, for them, for the Democrats, it's even worse.
Now, what's your opinion here on that, Joe?
Exactly what Jim has said. Here this is the mass media. And the mass media, when you go to watch in NBC, CBS, it is absolutely racist themselves when they say the white man is responsible for, and it's ridiculous. So when you have a control of the mass media, that's a big weapon on your side. And so that is the conviction that it's very difficult to overcome.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I have a neighbor that's going to be out of town, so she left her number.
Sure.
Anyway, now, what else you want to touch on in particular?
Go ahead, Joe.
Now, what I also wanted to bring up is down here in Phoenix, we have a radio show host named J.T. Harris, and he's black. And he has been exposing what has been happening out at Scottsdale Unified School District. And it's connected to the events that happened in Loudoun, Virginia. And in this case, we had a president of Scottsdale Unified School District keeping dossiers on people who would come in and criticize and have complaints about CRT in the district.
You want to go get a little deeper into it? Joe? Joe? Hello? Joe? Jim? Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we were just knocked off the air. I'm going to get them back.
All
right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back on the air now, and back recording, that is. We were just knocked off the phone, or my phone went dead, basically. Just killed the entire conversation. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, we have a black host on 550 AM on your dial, J.T. Harris. And he's been doing an investigation on CRT in the Scottsdale School District. And as it turns out, the president of the school board has been keeping dossiers on individuals that have been coming in and complaining about some of the stuff kids are bringing home and registering a complaint. So what this president of the Unified School District has done is to hire detectives to follow some of these individuals around to collect a dossier on them. So think of that. A president of a school board sends out a detective and keeps data an individual who are complaining about what their kids are bringing home from their school day. And this is the exact same thing that happened in Loudoun, Virginia, or the Loudoun school district, of where you had a parent get arrested and he was complaining because his daughter had been molested in a bathroom. So I would say that we have more. It is what I would say George Soros money coming in and buying out offices. Like the present sheriff of Maricopa County receives substantial funds from George Soros for his election. He's done the same thing for district attorneys. And this is not just, and now I'm thinking that this George Soros money has also infiltrated itself by buying up positions like on school boards.
tell you, the parents were pretty upset in the Kansas City area, in Missouri and Kansas both, over their kids and vaccinations and masks and everything else. And they were kicking them out. The school board members were actually kicking the public out of their meetings.
There is, now we've had three big mob scenes going to high-end stores and steal. They mobbed the store. One was in Walnut, the other one was in San Francisco. And you have this widespread looting that's going on.
Nordstrom's, I believe it was, wasn't it?
And Nordstrom was the other store. And to where you have stores that are closing down like Walgreens because they have a mob of blacks come in and steal product and then run away and sell it down the street.
This is what's going on in America.
So I would suggest that if you could follow the money trail, the instigator of this would be George Soros money.
Hey, by the way, I can't understand, you know, why George Soros. I haven't ever seen him in person, but if I did, I'd have temporary insanity if I got caught with what I did to him. But I don't understand why the guy's walking the streets someplace on the planet. Jim, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Sue, yeah. I think Joel is making excellent points about the Democrats promoting the collapse of law and order. They're letting criminals out on the street. They do it in the name of equity. The guy, the DA in Waukesha, even said that he knew that by laying these criminals back on the street, that innocent people would be harmed and even killed. He's going to pay for that. I think the Democrats are going to suffer mightily from this nonsense, these incoherent policies that promote crime and do not protect American citizens. I think this is a turning point. They were already in dire straits looking forward to 2022. I think this makes it immeasurably worse for them.
Well, I'm in agreement with you there, but I'm concerned about the country and the way the direction of these is happening, because this is being orchestrated, I believe, a lot of it pushed. You know, just like this incident with this guy, mind controlled, whatever it is, his anger, whatever. We're going to have a lot more of these incidents. And we don't know whether this guy's a clone or not. Remember, there's over 10 million of them been cloned down in Hope, Arkansas, since the Nazis came over and started cloning for us in 1948. And Joel's familiar with it. Others are familiar. But could it be a robotoid? Robots running around looking the human. If you notice something, Jim, you may have never knew this, but Ferguson, Missouri, when they had the outbreak, and they were doing the same thing, robbing, looting, and rioting, and carrying on down there here a few years back, shortly thereafter, after it all calmed down, what had happened is they sent the robotoids in. And they came in with signs, and they were shaking their hands, and every one of them that they shook their hands, they took their fingerprints from their robot hand. Every one of the people in Ferguson, Missouri were arrested within about a month and a half to 2.5 months after the riots stopped, because they'd been fingerprinted. That's the technology our government has. And we're all running around with chips, basically. You got a chip and everything. And Super Spook Otis Johnson, I have a recording up there on my site right now. It says, spies like us. 007 Otis Johnson, March 2012. He talked about flying back into Bluffdale. I'd put him on an airplane with General Flynn while I was up there doing a house down the street from him that he got for me, full house. And I put him on an airplane up at Grand Island, and he got on with General Flynn because I saluted Flynn from the distance driving off in his Cadillac. Now, this conversation's talking about going back out there, but he's talking about the problem that we've got coming. Chips and everything. Now, this was in 2012, mind you. He's talking about chips and all the appliances, chips and everything. They're going to be able to see you, hear you, listen to you, doing everything they want to do. We're at that day now, and with this G5 cranking everybody up, and harp and everything else, and to keep harp alive, weather modification, all they have to do is have an active volcano, is what I was told, to be able to move the jet stream around and cause weather. It's a form of weather wars, is what it is, killing off huge populations. The question I have for both of you, what the hell are we all going to end up doing about it? And these listeners that we all have. What are we as a human race going to do to ensure this crap doesn't go on in our country and set an example to everyone else? You want to go first, Jim?
Stu, I defer to you and to Joel here, and I'll add my further thoughts.
Okay. Joel?
It is the expansion of the surveillance state and the technology that goes along with it. And this is actually the very thing that George Orwell talked about, if you remember, he saw it way back then, and he warned about it, that it was going to be the surveillance state. And to attack and to accomplish that, you have to have a high technology, and we have it now because everything is gridded in on the cell phone towers. We are all gridded in between the cell phone towers and the satellites.
And the smart meters, half the homes in America now have smart meters on them. Got them cranked up. They got the cable coming in. It's cranking them up. The Wi-Fi. Go ahead, Joe.
And they're going so far as to make trucks be driverless, cars to be driverless, boats, or rather ships on the ocean, be empty of any captain. So the surveillance state is just what George Orwell talked about. And so we now have it here now. And that is what is happening with everything, because one of the things that I've seen videos of is what they call grappling. And after a person gets a shot, if they press in where the shot was given, and what happens is this kind of brown, blackish substance comes out, and it begins to form into kind of a spider's web. And their take on it was, this is the wiring that comes in to take over a person's brain. And this,
well, you're talking about graphene oxide, that the flimsiest substance known to science, and which may allow an interface between brains and 5G so that you can also control our thoughts and our moods. I mean, this is all disgusting and terribly threatening. Everyone should ignore the jab and bait it as much as you can. That they're doing their best to destroy America here and buy this. Part of the problem, this isn't even a real guy. This is not the senator from Delaware. This is a body double, an actor who can do no more than read scripts. That's all. He's not a thinking thing. And they needed someone who is completely irresponsible with no comprehension and no ethics, to have no sense of responsibility for what he's doing that's so damaging to the country.
You know, I could talk about that strange character called Biden for a long time, but I ask myself, why is he married to the woman who killed his first wife in a car crash? Rollover. And a son. Go ahead, Joel.
Now, that is another strange case, because Biden, in his young days, worked as a lifeguard at a community pool. And there, the blacks that were in the nearby neighborhood would come in and sometimes bomb rush the pool to cause chaos. And during one of those times, Biden got beat up by these blacks. And so Biden everything that we've seen with the guy, how he can, I don't know how they revive him. He's like totally incoherent sometimes.
You know, it's kind of interesting, but there's a site called GNews.com, folks. It's almost like a porno site. I've never gone to it, but other people have reported to me that's where the Biden videotapes are at, from Biden's son's laptop. Okay, even a film in there of supposedly, and a woman was arrested over this recently because she was in possession of a tape of him taking a shower with his teenage daughter. So, I mean, we got this weirdo in the White House.
Veritas.
What's that? Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah, they arrested him for having possession of it.
Of Joe Biden's daughter. And in that diary, allegedly, it is where he would take showers with him. She claimed that she would take inappropriate showers with Joe.
So
we know that from the past, this entire issue, because of people like Tim, what is the police officer's name from the NYPD, Stu?
Rothstein. Jim Rothstein.
Jim Rothstein, yeah.
And he has brought this out clearly, and this is what the entire Epstein story is about. And when you get into the story, you have Epstein was just a cog in the wheel. Gesling was his handler, and her handler was her father, Robert Maxwell. And they trafficked young women. And this is how they accomplish our young girls, our young boys. Now, Stu's old friend Chip Tatum said on one radio show where really the majority of the traffic is done for young boys. For every one girl, it's eight boys. That's what he found.
Now, Debbie Davis, I had her on, and she talked about how John McCain, and Jim, you might find this interesting, you might want to put her on, and she's a whistleblower, she's former National Guard active, that was running the guard stuff down there, they were all involved, but John McCain was supplying kids, body parts, kidnapped women, they were shipping weapons, guns, drugs, any place, and he was running the show for Daddy Bush and gang. And they were using the Arizona National Guard to do it. I've had her on. You might look on my radio bar, Jim, top my site, and listen to an hour on July the 4th. I had her on, and she talked heavily about it. But
so listen, I regret my wife is calling me for dinner, and I have an obligation not to leave her hanging. So
I hear you, buddy.
How much I enjoy these events and wish everyone in our audience to have a wonderful Thanksgiving, spend as much time as they can with their friends and their loved ones, because frankly, if we don't know how much time we have left.
That's a good. Go ahead, Joe.
And I say, ditto for me, I hope everybody can get together with their family, because you do not know how long you're going to be together. You don't know what's going to happen.
No, because we're in those state affairs now. And with that said, gentlemen, I want to thank you both very much, Professor James Fetzer and Whistleblower. And thank you, Professor Joe. And I should call you a whistleblower, too, with some of the stuff you brought to the table. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, have a good evening. Thank you, gentlemen.